Hey, this is Andrew Bishop from Fight Memorial Baptist Church in Marion, Ohio. Thanks for listening and supporting the ministry of Worldview Warriors.
Time out! Excuse me, bad guys. I am running out of air. Gotta get pumped.
Welcome to the Worldview Warriors Podcast. Challenging and affirming your faith to equip you to impact this generation for Jesus Christ.
Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
It's a transmitter, a radio for speaking to God.
Go ahead, make my day.
All right, everyone. Well, welcome to this interview, and just really glad you guys are tuning in today. This is Jason DeZurich, and just really looking forward to interviewing my guest. It's someone who's very special and near and dear to me, actually. Somebody who I've learned a lot from, and I just thank him so much for taking time out of his schedule to just be with us today. And who am I talking about? I'm talking about someone who is an author, a scientist, and he has written a book called In the Minds of Men, and also he is working on a new book as well. But his name is Ian Taylor, and he's from Canada. How you doing up there, Ian?
Well, fine, thank you. Yeah.
Great, great. What did you think about that hockey game?
I wondered if you were going to bring that up. Yeah, well, since you mentioned it.
Absolutely.
A very good game.
Yeah, it was exciting, wasn't it?
It was exciting, yes, I know. I think everybody got caught up in that. You know, I don't think there was any traffic on any one of the roads. Everybody was in watching television.
Yeah, I heard it was the most viewed or most watched sporting event in Canada in history.
Yeah. And we didn't have to pay $5,000 for a seat either.
That's right.
Some people did.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Ian, again, you're with a ministry called Creation Moments, and you not only are with them and speak for them, but you also do a lot of recording for them and actually have little Creation Moments vignettes, I'll call them. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. I've been the voice of Creation Moments for about 14 years now, since January 1996. That's when they asked me to be the voice, and I do the recordings in Canada, so it really doesn't matter where you do them, but mm-hmm. I live in Canada, so that's where I do them. Yes, I enjoy doing that, and then I answer some of the letters and telephone calls and things, but then the office is in Minnesota, actually.
Okay.
The girls there, they take care of most of the stuff.
All right, and so through this interview process here, if people want to, get a hold of you somehow, can they just get a hold of you through Creation Moments, or do you have an email?
Oh, yeah,
or how can
sure.
Get a hold of you?
On the internet, creationmoments.com.
Okay.
Easy.
All right, that's pretty easy to remember. So,
really?
All right, well, Ian, I wanted to interview you because, on the internet, with Facebook and such, we have a friend his name is Steve, and he helps out with Creation Moments over there. And he had posed a question about just creation itself, and does it fit into the gospel message, and is it really a help or a hindrance? And really, what happened is a firestorm of comments started coming in, and it really intrigued me. And so I personally started a conversation on my own Facebook as well about this, and just a lot of interesting stuff started happening. It not only non-Christians were saying you're crazy, don't do this, but there were even some Christians who were saying it's not a big deal, we don't need to worry about it. So,
well,
what's your take on that?
Well, okay, philosophically there are three questions that I call the three eternal questions, and these are questions that everyone asks at some point in time, whether they're Christians or not. If they're a human being, they will ask these questions. Mm-hmm. Where did we come from? Why are we here? Where are we going? And if you don't get the answer to the first question correct, the other answers, there's no hope of getting proper answers to the other two. So you've got to find out where we came from. And since there was no human being there in the beginning to see the creation of man, where we came from, there's only God's word to tell us, and we either take it and believe it or we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, there is a tendency within the church itself not to believe what God has told us in his word, and to go off and try and compromise with the theory of evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happening. So we've got to make this clear to people, that it is absolutely imperative that you take God's word, and he expresses it all the way through. It's what they call progressive revelation. So he'll tell you something right there in the beginning. It'll be a simple little statement. Like he made skins and made clothes for them. Uh-huh. And you pass that by, you know, but there's that's significant.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah, it is huge, yeah. And all the way through the script, you add to that, you see, from other statements made in the same context, you say, oh, I see what was going on there. He was showing them how to do the atonement. Mm. I mean, the atonement is what it's all about, isn't it?
Yes.
And Jesus came finally to fulfill that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, in one of my conversations here, I had made a comment about the Ten Commandments. And I had said, you know, God himself wrote them. And, you know, because in Deuteronomy, it talks about him writing them with his finger. And,
that's right, yeah.
And you know, it says right in there, for in 6 days, the Lord created the heavens and the earth. And a Christian wrote this back. He said because he was saying that God didn't write them, but I mean, he was implying that. But he says this: I did not say that God did not write the Ten Commandments. I think that is a mistake. However, to assume that God wrote them to be understood by us now in the exact same way as they were meant to be understood by the ancient Israelites, I basically am disputing that. Now, that's a concern, don't you think?
Oh, it is, yeah. And it's based on the assumption that we are making progress, that civilization and mankind himself has made progress. And we look around and we see all the wonderful electronic toys that we have to play with, you know. We see, hey, we're pretty smart, aren't we? We've come a long way from the cave, haven't we?
Mm.
This is cracked thinking. If they really and sensibly go back into the past and look and see, they see that mankind was a lot more intelligent. Brilliant, in fact, as you go back further and further. They could remember all kinds of things. And, you know, we still see vestiges of that today.
Okay, what do you mean by that? Yeah.
Well, I mean this, and it's totally inexplicable by science. This is where you've got people who have incredible memories. They can remember what they had for breakfast 30 years ago or something, you know, and every day since. And they can remember every detail, every date, every time, every name, right the way back. Even some people... the autistic savants are very interesting in this respect. You know, there are people that are disadvantaged. They're never going to have any power in this world. And yet God has given them the ability to do incredible calculations in their heads or remember all kinds of things or memorize 40 languages or whatever it is, all those particular talents that we would see them and then when you stand back and I don't understand that. What is that all about? This is, you remember the time when Jesus was asked about the blind man?
Mm-hmm.
And was it his parents that sinned, or was it him that sinned? I think it's John chapter 9.
Okay.
And he said, no, it wasn't this man or his parents that sinned, but this is done for the glory of God. And so it is for these, say, autistic savants, or some people who are perhaps otherwise mentally retarded, but brilliant in one particular aspect. And it's to show us the kind of capability that man once had in the past. Most of us have lost it.
Interesting.
In the past, they never used to have to write things down. They memorized them. And then, as evil crept in and people would lie and cheat, it became necessary to put things in writing as a kind of a witness to what was said.
So what you're saying, what I'm hearing you say anyway, is with us thinking that man... way back when, actually was less intelligent than we are, we've already bought into an evolutionary mindset. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. And so when we find people in caves, for instance, and, you know, obviously they were there, and the evolutionary mindset would say, well, oh, they lived in caves. They were advancing. They have tools now. Why is that wrong thinking?
Well, I read the other day where they reckon that there's 25 million Chinese people in China living in caves. Now, these are not retarded people. They are not, you know, brutal type people at all. No. They've got their big flat screens and everything. I don't know where they put them on the cave wall, but they do have televisions. They're all hooked up and everything like this. But they just prefer to live in caves.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's not our choice for where we would live, but it would have some advantages, I suppose. That the temperature is going to be fairly uniform year round. You know?
Yep.
And you've got protection on all sides except the door in the front and all these other things that we might tend to overlook or take for granted where we live. Yeah.
Okay.
You're not going to have a fire exactly that's going to burn the place down.
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so they prefer to live that way. Yeah.
Okay. You know, excuse me, in this conversation I was having too, I just wanted to, this person was saying, I don't think that we need to have 6 days understanding of creation or historical view of Genesis 1 through 11 to understand that marriage is a one flesh union between man and woman from the story. And then he goes on to talk about other stuff. Can you help us understand why is that important, though?
Oh, wow. Big questions there. You got about three questions there. The first one is the 6 days of creation. Then you've got the one about the marriage.
Okay.
Let's take the 6 days of creation, first
mm-hmm.
of all.
Mm-hmm.
And God told us that he created, let's say, the plants and the trees on the third day. Now, were these 24-hour days or were these long periods of time? Or remember that he created the sun, moon, and stars on the fourth day. Now, if those days were not 24 hours, you've got a problem because you've got the plants and the trees sort of sitting there in the dark and waiting for millions of years for the sun to come out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. It doesn't work that way. And there are other attributes to that as well. So, yeah, there are a number of compromise theories that are being bruited about within the church today that will argue that all those days, they were each millions of years, you see. They just represent, primitive people wouldn't understand what millions of years were, but they were just called days to those people.
Right.
No, not really. Not, and I believe that the Lord created the sun, moon, and stars on the fourth day deliberately so to make sure that these days were 24-hour days.
Okay. Well, okay. I was talking with somebody. Let's stick with 24-hour days here, and they were saying, to God it could have been 24 hours, but to us it could have been millions and billions of years because of where Earth is, and with the universe expanding, that way out where we can't see is very short amount of time, but on Earth it's a long period of time. And I think you've kind of already debunk that as far as I'm concerned, but can you go into that more to help people understand just why I understand kind of the concept of what they're saying, but I'm hoping you can kind of expound on that a little bit for us.
Well, I'm not sure that I can. when it comes to time, how do you get a grip on it? How do you actually measure it?
Mm-hmm.
How have you got some kind of absolute standard that you know this is what it is? You don't. You have to make assumptions that, you know, about the universe expanding and all that business. Why do they say that? Well, first of all, let's go back and say, it does say that the Lord stretched out the heavens. And moreover, he said he stretched it out with his own hands. So how big is God? Well, he's got to be big enough to catch hold of the universe, not asking another god to hold the other end, by the way, but all by himself, he stretched it out.
Right.
Now, that's beyond my imagination, but this is where they get the idea that the universe is expanding. It's that evidence that's left of the expansion that was done in the beginning by God himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand that, and I don't think anybody else could either.
Yeah,
so I just
yeah.
believe it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Everyone, I'm interviewing Ian Taylor from Creation Moments. You can find more information about him at creationmoments.com. And Ian has written a book called In the Minds of Men. Very great read. I've read quite a bit of older versions of that. But Ian, you have a newer version of that out now. Is that correct?
Yes. Through the years. The sixth edition, I think I came out in 2007, I think it was.
Okay.
2008. I've got a copy here, and, well, I can't read the thing anyway because I don't have my glasses on.
Okay.
But I believe it was about 2008 when it came out.
Okay.
And that was the sixth edition. And that was upgraded. I've, put new stuff in it and taken some of the old stuff out. And I've expanded particularly on Chapter 4, and that deals with geology. And that shows where all those billions of years came from, where the idea came from for the billions of years. Very interesting, that is. So So we can document it right down to the very day when the idea started.
Could you give us a little snippet of that? Just help our listeners, give them a taste of what they are missing if they don't read your book?
Okay, there was a fellow, he was Danish, and his name was Nicholas Steno. And he was a brilliant scientist of his day, and he was looking around for a new lab. He wanted to do some more experiments and so on, and things were... And so he went to Florence, Florence in the center of Italy was the center of all intellectual... that was the intellectual terminal point right there in those days. So he went to Florence, and a wealthy man paid for him for a laboratory, and they set him up, and he did a lot of thinking. Now, it turns out that he was a Lutheran. This was at the time after Luther had done his thing in 1517, so mm-hmm. we're looking at about 1630, 1640. In that era there. So he set up his lab and he did all those things, and he concluded, when he looked at the rocks, those layers of rocks, you know, when you're going through on highways today and you see road cuttings and you see layers of rocks and they're different colors and different kinds of textures in them,
uh-huh.
and you say, well, these are stratum, aren't they? These are stratum of rocks in there, and they're different compositions. How are they laid down? Well, he saw floods, and he said, oh, no, these are all laid down one at the same time. This is when you have a flood, you see layers of rock, or layers of sediment, I should say, layers of sediment laid down after a flood. And you do. When there's been a big flood, like a river overflows its banks, and all the mud and the stuff comes out, and then the waters go back, and afterwards, perhaps several months, when it's all dried out, you cut a slice in there, and you can see layers of sediment. They're all stratified. And that's what he said when he saw these things. He said, well, that was that. Oh, this was the Genesis flood. Now, he was a Christian, a Lutheran, a believing Christian, and this is what he determined. That was the result of the Genesis flood.
And what was his name
again?
And
one day he was walking, yes, and he heard a voice. Now, this was a woman's voice. And if you track those things back through history, you find there's always turning point. I mean, Hitler heard a voice,
mm-hmm.
and you get these voices that come into people. He heard a voice, it was a woman's voice, simply told him to cross the road and go and join his friend over on the other side, where he lived. So he did. Now, his friend was a Roman Catholic. Now, there was no Protestant church in that day, by the way.
Okay.
But actually there was. There was Luther had started it, but they didn't have any buildings. They were little houses.
Okay.
House churches. Yeah. He went over there, and within days he decided to join the Roman Catholic Church. And he went there, and his mind turned around, and now he saw these layers of rock. And he said, no, these were laid down one after the other, sequentially, not simultaneously. They were laid down sequentially. So now what you've got is what is taught today. The first layer of rock was laid down. There was a flood of long ago, and it laid down that sediment down there. Millions of years go by, and there was another flood in the same area, and that laid another layer on top of the first layer of sediment. And then millions of years go by, and so on and so on. So the millions of years required for evolution appear between the layers of rock. So if you go to one of those road cuttings and you can put your finger between two layers of rock, so you've got some kind of gray rock here on the bottom, and then there's a brownish kind of rock above it, but there'll be a shrinkage crack between the two. Often you can get your fingers in there, and you can say to yourself, if you're an evolutionist, see, I've got my fingers right on 25 million years of Earth's history, right down the end of my finger.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it comes from. Those layers were laid down simultaneously, and they had to be. You can see evidences for that yourself sometimes. When you can see those layers of rock, there may be, let's say there might be 15 or 20 layers of rock, different colors, and all of a sudden they're bent up concertina fashion, up, down, up, down, up, down. They had to be bent when they were soft and they were all plastic, like they'd just been laid down out of the water. They had not yet cemented themselves and become solid, hard rock. Because you can't bend solid, hard rock without it cracking.
Right.
And you can find these places where it's bent in concertina fashion, no cracks. Clear evidence that they were all laid down at the same time. And if they were laid down at the same time, it happened in one event. That would be the Genesis flood.
Mm-hmm. And when you say in that fashion, you mean that that some are kind of like vertical and they're not just all horizontal. I just want to make sure our listeners understand
Exactly. They were horizontal when they were laid down. Then they were pushed from the side. That's some tectonic forces do that, and that's all right. That's when the continents were being formed. And they were just folded up like a concertina, and they would go out vertically, and then there would be a sharp turn at the top, and then folded right back where it was almost a 180-degree bend down again, and then another bend at the bottom and up and down. I've got photographs of that. In fact, there's some beautiful photographs in that book, in that sixth edition.
Yes. One of the editions I have, I think I have the third edition. There's photographs in there as well. I just really want to encourage you, if you're able, to get this book, just to go for it. It's called In the Minds of Men, written by Ian Taylor. And can they get that at Creation Moments website, or how can they get a hold of this?
Oh, book? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, you could just lift up the phone and call.
Okay.
1-800, yes, that's right. 1-800-422-4253. That's their 800 number. And the girl's there, and you just say, "Look, I'd like a copy of In the Minds of Men." And it's a hardback with a sewn binding, so it won't fall apart. Over 500 pages, and it's nicely written, and it's nicely documented, and it's got illustrations all through it. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'd be happy to send it to you.
Yeah. Well, I'd love that. because my copy's only softback, doggone it, so I'd love a hardback.
In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.